brave, celui-là.
Ich bin hier aufgehört damit.
Womit laufen? Da werden sie kaum mehr Geld verdienen.
So this week, thanks to a lot of no time being in our schedule right now, as well as the fact that trailers this week sucked ass, we're just going to move straight into our review of the 2010 film, The Robber. Damien picked this film, so yes. Damien, tell us what it's about.
Right, so in Austria, crime is easy to commit. The movie centers around this man who... he is a career criminal. He is also one of the premier long-distance runners in Austria. And we start out and he is in prison. He is let out of prison and he continues in his ways. And it leads to, of course, poor outcomes.
Death, dismemberment, and etc.
Right. the movie is focused on his relationship with the love interest. I don't remember her name.
Erica,
right. He gets out, he starts doing his crime, he continues his training for these marathons, and then he meets Erica, and they fall back in love with each other. But this does not deter him from his life of crime. Erica finds out, as well she should, and... His behavior becomes more erratic. The police catch up with him, and then the movie goes on to a climax. It's not, the movie is formulaic in that way. We all know about these crime stories. We've seen movies like this before. Where the movie is good but not great is in its execution of the story that it tries to tell. We meet this guy when he's about to leave prison, and it's clear from the first time you meet him that the reform that is supposed to happen in prison did not take place. He does not seem remorseful in any way. He just seems to be going through the motions, and everybody's giving him this second chance. But the second he is out, it looks as if he went to sleep the first night, woke up in the morning, and went back to robbing places. And the movie fails at making the heist very interesting. He just rolls up with a gun, threatens the people, gets the money out of, gets the money put in a bag and then takes off. It is the same MO with all the robberies. None of the robberies are intense. None of them seem... they don't seem exciting. You'd think that a robbery would be more exciting, but he just seems to go in, points the gun, and then he's out. And the pattern continues. He commits about 5 or 6 robberies for the movie. And it's the same thing. Nothing ever happens. He just goes in, gets the money, and he's out. The real drama happens when he meets up with Erica and they kind of fall back in love with each other. But there's no tension there. The second they meet, you kind of see that this is going to happen.
Would you say back in love, though? For me, when I was watching this movie, it sounded more like, I don't know if he was banging Erica's mother, but he definitely knew Erica's mother. And it sounded to me like he had actually been in prison for a long time, because the first time he saw her, he was like, oh, you've grown up. So actually there was a point, the point where, well, at first it always did kind of look like she was a love interest, but the point where it was just about to be confirmed, I was like, yeah, like mother, like daughter, huh? Because that seemed a little bit weird to me, that it wasn't really that, or at least it seemed as if it wasn't really that it was a rekindling of a long-lost emotion, more like it was him
taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. But the movie seems, I mean, it's interesting to watch this guy do these things, but the movie only really picks up when he...
This movie picks up?
When he assaults his parole officer. That is when, you know, police start chasing him and there's more chase sequences and stuff like that. But the movie really feels like it's stuck in second gear the entire time. It's not a great movie, but there's nothing bad about the movie. Now, some reviews that I've read point to the fact that this was based off a true story.
Yeah.
And that helps them give it a pass. I reject that notion almost 100%. I don't care what it's based off of. If it's not very good, it's just not very good.
Exactly.
And on the poster for this movie, it says, some of the best chase sequences or something like better than most Hollywood chase sequences or some such nonsense, which is a...
You know, which movie had a better on-foot chase sequence than this movie? Brick had a better on-foot chase sequence than this movie.
Almost every movie had a better budget. Almost every movie had better chase sequences than this. What this movie does well is they find a way, like when he's running through the woods and through these places, I don't know how much planning went into it, but the fact that the camera is able to follow him through all these places, they put the camera in a position where the camera is clearly following this guy, but it's not through somewhere where you think a camera, like if the camera was behind him, you'd have gone, well, I can see what they did that, but they clearly chopped down a whole lot of trees in order to get a couple of these shots. And he's jumping over this and jumping over that. There's a lot of running, so the camera has to be in motion a lot. And watching him train, watching him run, things like that were well done. But nothing... I mean, things happen in this movie, but it's nothing out of the ordinary. It's nothing that interesting. And the movie doesn't try and manipulate you into thinking that these things are very interesting. I guess the life of a long-distance runner must be exceedingly boring. You wake up, you run, you eat, you run, you have sex with a mother or a daughter, you run. You go to prison, of course, and you run. I expected more, and it was pitched as, you know, this great kind of chase movie. Even in the trailer, you saw him running a lot, so you thought that, you know, he would have had a lot of near misses and police would be tracking him all the time. But it doesn't really happen until the end. And even at the end of the movie, they weren't really chasing him. They were kind of closing in on him. And there wasn't, you know, this great, you know, camera following him, jumping over things and, you know, him assaulting a guy and running off. None of that happened. The movie ended pretty much how it started. It just went, this is the beginning point, and this is the end point. So this movie, while not a terrible movie, is mediocre, which is really sad, because this is now, I think, the seventh week. Have we run out of good movies to watch, guys?
Are we going to have
to go back to watching movies that have recently released?
Yeah, I think we might. I think we might have to.
This is the fifth week, Damien. The officially fifth week.
Have we shot ourselves in the foot here?
Because Damien, I watched this movie, and at the end of the movie, I thought to myself, why? I'd have rewatched my movie instead of watching this.
This movie was just not good. Yeah.
Now I'm going to talk a little bit about this movie, but in order to do so, I need to refer to my notes. So give me 1 second. My Evernoting notes. All right. So, first of all, I just want to let it be known before I say anything from these notes that this movie was bad. I did not like it. I give it a 3 on the Terry Gilliamometer.
No. To say that the movie is bad means that there is something actively bad about the movie.
I'll get there.
Sorry, hold on. Before Douglas goes anywhere, I want to talk about this Gilliamometer. How does Gilliam get involved in this movie now again?
No, you rank every movie has a Gilliam mark.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. All movies are ranked on the Guillermometer.
No, but I mean, you gave it, what, 3 on the Guillermometer?
Right.
Yes.
It's out of 5, right?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry.
The Guillermometer is out of 13, everybody.
Did you not know that? This is wrong
with me. Right? I don't think we set that rule. Yeah.
And the more whimsical the movie, the higher you rank on the Guillermometer.
Exactly.
Now, it helps that if the movie is good, that will get you over 10.
Yeah.
But you can't... Oh, no. Oh, no. Screensavers is back.
Oh, we're still alive.
We're safe. We're safe.
Well, hold on. Sorry, what?
I'm sorry. All right. We're going to have to explain this. So, we thought that we were going to lose all of this podcast. If this podcast ever comes up. We thought we were going to lose all of this podcast because Douglas Computer did something I haven't seen happen in about 12 years. Douglas Computer went into the screensaver. Douglas tried to take it out of the screensaver and the computer crashed. Now, while this may seem like a reasonable thing to happen for people who use Windows, we are not using Windows. We're using a machine so stable that this... If I punch this into Google, if I put system crash after screensaver Ubuntu, Google will literally kick me off the internet. Because that has never happened. I've never seen it happen. I haven't seen it happen in many, many years. So a while ago, the screensaver came back up. And Douglas very timidly went over to the mouse, thought about it for a second, and then shook the mouse. Which is amazing. Because that means that one of two things is going to happen going forward. Douglas is either going to take off the screensaver off his machine, which is hilarious in its own right, or two, live in fear of his screensaver.
Every time I see it, I'm going to wonder.
Which is amazing. Truly amazing.
You know what's going to happen now, right? What month are we in? We are in
July,
so we're nowhere near an update.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to have to, over the weekend, reinstall all of Ubuntu and everything on it.
In order to feel safe.
Yes.
I can't trust.
Anyways, we were talking about this movie.
Right. Sorry to cut you. Yes. Andrew, you're saying you loved it.
No. Hold on.
Douglas was talking.
Yes. Thank you. So I wanted to read from my notes. The first note I made was a little ways into the film, and it just said, impressive double robbery. So there is a scene where this guy, who is, as we all know, a marathon runner, he actually robs one bank, and you think that's it, right? Because he pulls up in his stolen vehicle, he enters the bank, tells the person to load all the money, some shenanigans happen, he gets his money and he walks out, and you expect, okay, go back into the stolen car, drive off into the sunset, you're great. Then, instead, he runs to another bank about 2 blocks down the road and robs that bank. While he's robbing this bank, the police are all flying to the first bank. He's robbing the second bank. Don't give a shit. he
couldn't care less.
Couldn't care less.
So Douglas, I have a question related to that scene. Did you guys think that he planned the double robbery, or he did it because there was something which happened in the first robbery?
No, I think he planned it. I think, honestly, here's what I think about his robberies. I think that a lot of his robberies were done. No, I didn't read anything about this guy. Clearly, this is based on a true story, so I'm either right or wrong. There is no, like, interpretation here, but here is my interpretation. I think that his robberies were done, and if you look at the movie, he wears a heart monitor, and before he did some of the robberies, I mean, not all, as Damien says, essentially once he got out, he started robbing again, but before it went into kind of high gear, I think he went to some sort of specialist, and they told him, okay, you run very well right now, but if you were to do a bunch of, like, sprints and a couple of this type of training, nobody could beat you.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a theory that him doing that, or let me say it another way, him robbing these people was actually him training, him doing those things. So I think, yes, in a way he planned it in the sense that that was his double sprint or whatever it was. Because you even saw it, there was a scene where he took off his heart monitor after he had robbed a place. And you saw for most of the day it was kind of in the middle, his heart rate. And then I'm assuming that this is where the robbery took place. There was this big spike and it kind of stayed up there and slowly came back down when he was finished. So in a way, I think that was his training for his marathon running. I could be wrong, I probably am wrong, but I think that makes the movie a little bit more interesting, which makes it a little bit more palatable for me.
Okay.
Okay.
What's your second note?
My second note said... oh, yes. My second note says, this is a movie about an idiot. Because Damien did more than alluded. Damien said that this man killed his parole officer. Now, you would generally think that when you kill a parole officer... Or you kill an officer of any sort, it's because you had to. There was no other choice. They were closing in on him.
Douglas,
no,
to be fair, that man was really annoying.
Really annoying?
I've killed people for this.
For less than asking you where you lived?
For being less annoying.
So, let me just put this into context, please. And I don't think I'm spoiling much. If I am, I know
I'll
get bleeped.
You're definitely not.
Right?
Spoiling.
But... up
yes.
to this point in
who
the movie.
Who gave Douglas Andrew permission to bleep out spoilers? When do they agree? I'm listening to this podcast and all of a sudden this giant beef. How dare you? I spoil what I want to spoil when I want to spoil. You know what? You know what? The end of Batman 3. There, I said it. Said it.
anyway,
I know. I know. The funny bit is if I decide to bleep out that,
that would
so
be
that
amazing.
Feel that you actually tried right. to spoil Batman 3.
You should.
Okay. So anyway. So right at this point in the movie, he has committed at least 5 robberies.
Mm-hmm.
He has done all sorts of foolishness.
He's
won 2 marathons, and made at least 5 robberies and. Nobody knows a thing. The police don't know who he is. His girlfriend don't know who he is. Nobody knows what is happening. He could have said to the parole officer, oh, you know, my address is 555 fuck you Lane. And the parole officer would have probably been like, okay, I'll keep covering for him. But instead he decides to kill this man. And that is the only reason why the police start chasing him.
It was an accident, Douglas.
Fuck you. It was not an accident.
He accidentally
hit him over
this
the
man
head
with
two
a
times.
Trophy twice. It's happened to the best of us.
This is why I don't like this movie, you know.
Oh, it's because he's an idiot.
It's been,
that is the
that's,
point
that's
that triggered
one part,
it.
But no, that's kind of the part that triggered it. Mm-hmm. But throughout this film, it was boring me to tears. And... I expected more of this film. I went to IMDb.com and I did like a scan through the plot
right.
where it said, you know, this great marathon runner who also is a career thief. And
it's pretty good.
Follows him and it's based on a true story. And that sounded very interesting to me.
It did.
I thought
the trailer
that this
looked
would be fantastic,
pretty interesting.
But throughout this...
And Mr. Dave IMDb gave this movie a 7.7.
As opposed to Steve Netflix?
Right. I like Steve Netflix.
What about Roger Metacritic? What is
he? I don't know. I stopped reading his articles years ago.
But so for me to see that story, be very intrigued, and then watch this movie and wait for the awesomeness to happen and it never happened, that just filled me with hate for this film. And it can never turn itself around. But anyway, my notes have not finished.
Mm-hmm.
my next note
mm-hmm.
is hitting a hole.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a point when the police are chasing him and he finds a hole and he hides in it. And this was close to the end of the film and I started to want to kill myself. I really didn't want to watch this movie anymore. And when he was getting into the hole, The only thing I could think of immediately, I thought of 127 Hours. I think that's the name of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't kill me if I got the number wrong. But it's a movie with James Franco.
You're right.
And immediately I said to myself, you know what? If this fucking guy hides in this hole, I hope to Christ that his hand gets stuck under a rock and he has to eat himself out of it, because I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. Why? Just because he's boring. Just because this movie is boring. I wanted to kill somebody. I couldn't deal with it anymore. And those were kind of the last three notes, or sorry, the only three notes that I took that I took while I was watching the movie. After I finished watching the movie, I went and threw up a couple of times. I drank some tea to kind of calm my nerves.
Watch the FP.
Then I threw up again, and then I actually wrote a couple notes that were constructive, that were a little bit of objective, and it was really what I thought the movie needed more of. And what I really thought the movie needed more of was for me to get to know Hans. Hans is the name of the runner, a little bit better. Because the truth of the matter is, this movie almost just really gave us facts about this person. It is a fact that he's a runner. It is a fact that he robs people. Or it's definitely a fact that he's a fucking idiot. But it never really...
How would getting to know him?
No. When I said getting to know him, you never really feel...
Connected
to him or to any part of the story. Right? It kind of... It feels like it brushes over everything. So, you know, the best movies... Or, well, I don't want to say the best movies, but a good way to get... To make a movie great is to kind of endear yourself to one character, mm-hmm. or to a situation or to a place or something like that. So that when something happens, when, you know, you get into Act 3, mm-hmm. you have a positive or a negative emotion about what is happening. You know, so you feel a part of the movie. You want Hans to get away from the cops, or you think Hans is this horrible person, and you really want the cops to get him so that he pays back or something. But you never felt that at all with this movie. It always only scratched the surface. There was never any...
The Austrian and German governments do not want you to identify with people who run in and rob people.
No, but that's fine. They don't. In that case, make me identify with the good guys. Don't make me not identify with anybody.
Didn't you identify with the girl?
No, I didn't. I saw her tits. That was about it. And by the way, can I tell you, that was the worst sex scene in the world.
I enjoyed that sex scene a lot. It looked so uncomfortable. It was amazing.
I think their pelvic regions were the furthest apart from each other that I've ever seen in any sex scene.
I need to try that. I really do need to try that. Maybe they've found some other plane where you can have sex, right? Without trying to touch it. It looked so it looked like she was afraid his penis was going to touch her. Like, look, I'm going to hug you, but keep that thing away from me as possible.
And Andrew has now fallen over. I haven't heard a bang because he's gotten into this habit of turning off his microphone.
Yes.
So I can just imagine that his microphone has blown to bits again and that we will no longer be able to finish this podcast.
So the more Douglas talks about this movie, the more I realize how bad this movie is. Now... Again, guys, I do not want to give anybody the impression that the movie is an awful movie. It is boring, but it is not bad, right? It is not contraband.
It does well on the technicals, but that's the thing. We've all gotten movies that do well on the technicals, but just don't translate into good movies or into good storytelling or into even entertainment.
Right,
just,
it was not entertaining.
It wasn't.
It was not. Maybe that's not the point, Douglas. Have you ever thought about that? All right. Andrew Robinson. What did you think about this glorious, glorious triumph in movie making?
Hi. Well, I could make one suggestion to whoever produced this film, that when they remake it, of course, because it's going to be remade, because every movie is remade, that they hire Neville, Dean, and Taylor, and they'll fix the movie. They'll make sure that all the stuff that is good about this movie gets
and
thrown out the
that
window.
We'd like to thank and you all for listening to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. You can find us on Twitter.
Yeah, you guys kind of hit it on the head, hit the nail on the head. This movie is downright boring. It fell into the same vein that I fell into last week with a Bittersweet Life. I tried to watch it late last night while I was sleepy, and sleepy with subtitles equals Andrew falling asleep over and over during the movie. I rewatched it today, and I just wanted to hurt myself for doing that. The movie is bad, and the truth of the fact is that it tries to do a lot of things I like movies to do. It tries to do it well, in the fact that I've come to like the fact when movies kind of start in the middle, and they try to let you catch up with what we've missed out on. So instead of giving us the front end of showing us that he got caught and we just kind of see him getting out of prison, and you kind of have this hopeful nature to it, the fact that maybe he's going to be a nice person, but of course we know that's not going to happen because this movie's called The Robber. And then he goes off and he does these things, and as you guys said, the bank robbery scenes, they're almost unnecessary. Like you could have just had him have a scene in which he says I robbed a bank, and it would have been just as exciting as him actually doing the robbing in the movie. To me, this is the next Once Upon a Time in Anatolia of the year. It's technically brilliant and completely boring throughout. But yeah, that's all I really have to say about this movie.
All right, guys, I'm going to go back to cheating in my picks. I'm just going to pick all great movies like M and The Lost Highway. And stop trying to pretend that good movies have been made in the last couple of years. I'm just going to pick the ones I know you two assholes haven't seen. That I have watched already and go, alright, I love this. There's no chance Douglas and Andrew have seen this. Let's go.
You know,
because they would have talked about this.
You know what's funny? Actually, let me say something. Damien actually picked a different movie before he picked this one.
Yes, I did.
Damien picked Sleepers. Now, to tell you the truth, I gave him a hard time for it because I have watched that movie already, and Andrew's seen it also. But I have to say, I watched that movie when it came out, so I only have a vague remembrance of it. So it would probably be good for me to watch it again, and I remember liking it at the time. So I'm sure that would have been a much better movie for us to watch than this one.
Yeah, I should have talked about watching that movie. But never mind. Hey guys, Sleepers is pretty good.
But yeah, that's sad.
I know it is.
We definitely messed up on that one.
Yeah, guys. I just going to go back to cheating. I don't care.
I have to put the podcast on my shoulders. I have to put the podcast on my shoulders and lift us out of bad movie.
Is this the third time that we're going to Babe Ruth it? This is the third time now that somebody's going to call
hitting
it.
This out of
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Picking my spot from early. Hitting a home run. Or a six.
Anyways, guys. It's time to sign out. You can hear the podcast over at gmanreviews.com. You can find us on iTunes and the Podcast Alley, and with lots of other podcasting apps.
Wait, hold on, Andrew, quick question. Is Podcast Alley anything big?
It's a relatively big index, yes.
No, it's big. Okay. Only because I've never heard of it. The only time I've heard of it is when you say it.
It's because most people use iTunes.
Yeah, most people use iTunes. But no, because I was thinking, you know, we always say you can find us on iTunes, which is a big one, so I have no problem with that. Or Podcast Alley. Sounds like a dark lane somewhere.
Yeah, they keep dirty podcasts.
Exactly. So, I mean, like, I would think saying something like, you can find us on iTunes or Instacast, you know, or something equally large as iTunes,
Pocket,
you know, pocket, whatever it is, you know. But Podcast Alley to me, I know to all of you Podcast Alley people who listen to this, I'm not trying to rain on your parade.
Right, you're just being blissfully ignorant.
I'm just saying that you need to you know what? Somebody change the name. Read It Later change the name to Pocket.
Right.
Why? Because Read It Later sounding stupid. Podcast Alley, maybe you need to change your name. Maybe it needs to become something,
Douglas,
that I might not
pull down your sleeves. Your ignorance is showing.
Douglas, where can they find you on Twitter?
On Twitter, they can find me, specifically all of you Podcast Alley people who want to give me a hard time. Find me at DJR Lost His Name. I've got a broad back. I'll take whatever insults you can give.
Oh my God.
Damien.
I am at Soccer Jersey and at Damien _ White.
Is this admission? Is this admission right now?
I'm still not I'm not Soccer Jersey. But now that I have a proper router, I'm going to give that Soccer Jersey person a run for his money. I've been looking up best Twitter clients for Ubuntu, and I'm going to crush Soccer Jersey. Right? It's not going to. Now that I'm on the service, I might as well use it. And I do know how to use Twitter. I'm going to keep up so much arms out, it will not be funny. So guys, get ready. That is my promise to everyone.
You know what?
Crush Soccer Jersey.
You know what might be fun though? Now that all three of us are actually on Twitter, perhaps we can have like a Twitter cast. Like a podcast via Twitter.
Let's never do that.
No.
I thought you were going to say something that made sense, that maybe we should all tweet on the G-Man Reviews or tweet on the unnamed movie podcast handle. But you have come up with the dumbest idea that anyone has ever come up with. So thank you, Douglas. Thanks for that. We'll not be going with your idea.
And always, guys, you can find me at Gman Reviews on Twitter as well as gmanreviews.com. Find my writings there. I'm also at screeninvasion.com, and I'm doing the Newsroom podcast, navigating the newsroom over at filmgeekradio.com.
Do not endorse this foreign dirty,
dirty prostitute. I also had a guest spot on a recent podcast at the Braingasm podcast, which was really fun. You guys should go and listen to that when
I'm
it comes
about up. That.
By the time you hear this, it should be alive. So
what's
thanks for listening.
Do they just have to wave Skittles in your face?
Skittles, I like Starburst.
Right. Come on, my podcast.
Business calls me, trouble down the waterfront. You know, I try to